All right, Commanders offensive and defense coordinators talking today. You're going to hear that right here on B. Mitch and Finley. But coming up right now, we are excited to get the voice of the New York Giants, Mr. Bob Papa, on the line. Bob, what's going on, man? Thanks for making time for us today.
Hey, great to be on with you guys. How are you?
Good, man. How you doing?
We're doing really well. It's kind of interesting. We've been having this debate here with the first NFC East game of the season for Washington and for the Giants also. You know, for a long time in the NFC East, there was kind of like a hierarchy of the rivalries. And Washington and Dallas were big, and Philly and New York were big. And they were all big, but it was kind of those two and then kind of down from there. From your viewpoint with the Giants, like, how does the NFC East stack up for, like, a rivalry standpoint?
Great question, because it depends on your age, right? I mean, yep. When you think about the 80s, it was the Giants and Washington were basically the big dogs of the NFC East, and it was almost as if the 49ers were part of the rivalry because it felt like the Giants and it felt like the 49ers would play each other a whole heck of a lot in Monday night football games, competing for chances to go to the Super Bowl. Obviously, it's changed dramatically, you know, over the last 25 years. And the Giant-Philly thing is now, you know, pretty intense. And I think all three teams in the division share the commonality in the absolute disdain for Dallas.
100%.
So it's kind of interesting because, yeah, this rivalry certainly has not been the same. And, you know, listen, it's been a pretty down time for the Commanders over the last 20 years or so. So it's hard to be a rival when you're not having success.
I think that's really – and what where Brian and I kind of landed was – and obviously B played for this organization, and all the NFC East games were crazy, but Dallas Week used to really mean something. And now it's like generally the Commanders, the Burgundy and Gold, whatever they're called, have played their best games against the Eagles, and maybe that's why that's ramped up. And generally, they've played terribly against the Giants.
Yes, they have.
So knowing that and knowing this is a new staff, kind of a new day in D.C., what do you make – I mean, Giants look pretty rough week one. Daniel Jones looked pretty rough. But, man, they always show up in Landover.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, Jones is 5-1-1 against the Commanders. He had one of his best games his rookie season in that overtime win when he threw for 352 and 5 touchdowns in the game. But, yeah, so if there's ever a get-right game, like if he can't function to the level that he functioned his rookie year or even 2 years ago when he didn't turn the ball over and he accounted for 22 touchdowns and the Giants went on the road and won a road playoff game, if this week is a continuation of last week, which is a continuation of what happened the year before, I think his time as the starting quarterback of the Giants is going to be growing pretty narrow because, wow. you hope that he's not, you know, completely shell-shocked after the beating that he took last year. Now, he's coming off an ACL and he, as Phil Simms told me the other day, he goes, he was almost playing too fast. He was almost overreacting to things. So he's got to find that balance. Now, look, Dan Quinn is the DC with Dallas, 6-0 against the Giants. So he has been able to concoct a recipe from a scheme standpoint that has given the Giants fits as the DC of the Cowboys. Unfortunately for him, he wasn't able to bring Micah Parsons and Diggs and all those other guys. Lawrence couldn't bring all those guys with him, but I'm sure he'll do some things that'll cause the Giants some issues offensively.
Well, the defense of the Giants is that's their better, I would say, side. Didn't look like it against the Vikings. What was their problem last week?
Yeah, that's a great question, Brian, because they did a decent job against the run early, but they kind of let go of the rope. Listen, it's a new scheme. Shane Bowen is coming in. They've changed over personnel. They didn't have one of their starting inside backers, Micah McFadden. He was injured, so they started a sixth-round rookie who played okay in the game. I just think that the whole thing kind of snowballed on them. And they played hard for 60 minutes, but they just, when they got down, it looked like they really couldn't figure out a way out of it on either side of the ball. I mean, Sam Darnold hit his first 13 pass attempts. That's not Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think with, you know, Sunday there was a big celebration. This is the 100th season of Giants football, and we rolled out onto the field at halftime the top living 100 players in the history of the franchise, and a family member of the deceased, and a lot of those are Hall of Famers. And it was such this weekend was so built up, and it almost felt like the pressure got to them. And when things went wrong, and they fell behind 7-3, and then they fell behind 14-3, it was like they were in quicksand, and they could not make a play to get themselves out of it.
Talking with Bob Papa here, voice of the Giants. You can follow him on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, at @BobPapa_NFL. It's interesting you say the quicksand thing there, because between Hard Knocks, which I can't imagine the organization is thrilled they were forced to do that at this point, because it really didn't look great for at least Joe Shane, I would say.
For sure.
Between Hard Knocks and John Mara publicly saying, I really don't want to see Saquon in Philly. And then Saquon going for 3 touchdowns in the opener. And then Jones throwing 2 picks, including a pick 6 in the opener. What is like the vibe, or just kind of how are people trying to ignore like the big picture and just focus on the immediacy of this week up there?
Well, it depends. It depends on who you're talking about. If you're talking about fans, media, you know, it's all an uproar. But as Brian knows, NFL players, professional athletes have an ability to compartmentalize things, because you can't let – I think this was a Dan Quinn quote last year when the Cowboys got smoked in a game. I don't know if it was against the Niners or somebody. They got smoked. And his message to his defense was, we can't let what happened last week affect the outcome of what is going to happen this week. And I think you got to just put that in the rearview mirror. You do your corrections. You learn from it. You do what you got to do. And then you just go out and begin your preparation for a new week, because you can't change what happened last week, as bad as it was. As far as this Jones situation is concerned, look, they tried to get a deal done with Saquon. He wound up signing with Philadelphia for the same exact deal that the Giants offered him during the bye of 2022. For whatever reason, that number wasn't acceptable. And, you know, they played the franchise game with him. But you move on, because I think they come of the philosophy of you don't allocate that much money to that position in today's NFL. And if you go back to the 2007, the 2000 season, where the Baltimore Ravens had that incredible defense and they had a rookie running back who was outstanding, went for over 1,000 yards, and it was a very run-centric offense because of their – it was a run-centric offense, and then throw it to Shannon Sharp and then play great defense. Either you take that team and you take Marshawn Lynch in Seattle when they won the Super Bowl against the Broncos, where the offense was built around Marshawn Lynch, and then a young Russell Wilson would make some plays down the field. Mm-hmm. If you look at every Super Bowl champion since, show me the high-paid first-round draft pick, fulcrum of the offense running back that's been handed a Lombardi trophy. And I'll only give you those two. Everybody else has won with a compilation. The Giants did it in 07 and 11 with a three-headed monster. Do you remember who Aaron Rodgers' running back was? Can you name all of Brady's running backs over the different incarnations? You know, the game has changed. And I don't think he wanted to allocate $13 million a year to a running back and have the offense and be built around that player, because history has shown us in this century that running back centric offense with a stud highly paid back don't deliver Super Bowls. Ezekiel Elliott didn't win a Super Bowl. Adrian Peterson didn't win a Super Bowl. Kansas City's doing it with a run. I'm not saying you don't have to have a run game because Kansas City proved that, but you can do it with undervalued assets.
But see, the thing about it, though, all those teams had exceptional quarterbacks. The Giants don't have an exceptional quarterback.
Well, right now they don't. Yeah, right now he's a guy.
If you have Pat, you have Aaron. You can win with a subpar running back. If you don't have those type of running, I think that's the problem. Everybody that tries to follow that mindset, if you don't have that quarterback, you might want to go with another position. And I just think somebody hadn't really stuck to it. They keep trying to copycat the rest of the league, and Daniel Jones is none of those quarterbacks.
Correct. And remember, they didn't draft him. Dave Gettleman drafted him. And, you know, they got in a situation with Saquon and his contract's up and Jones, and they were going to franchise one and they were going to sign the other, and they couldn't get the deal done with Barkley, but they were able to get a deal done with Jones, and they have an out after 2 years. Remember, they didn't draft him. So, you know, not their guy. Like, Dan Quinn's coming in, and he's got Jaden Daniels, and he's going to be able to ride with them and let them grow. This they were trying to kind of patch together and fix somebody that had been broken. And let's face it, how many quarterbacks really do have success in the NFL when in your first 5 years you've had 3 head coaches, 2 general managers, 5 offensive coordinators, and 6 different offensive line coaches? It really doesn't lead to success. So I guess it's kind of like, hey, we're going to put some weapons around him. We're going to fix the offensive line to the best of our abilities. We're going to draft a Malik Nabers, and now it's put up or shut up. And if not, we can get out of this deal after this year because it was a 4-year deal but with an out after 2. And then we'll go draft a quarterback that we think can lead us to where we have to go.
All right.
Hey, Bob, how healthy is that offensive line? I know that was a real point of emphasis this offseason for the Giants, and then seemed like I thought I saw guys were even getting banged up in the preseason.
Yeah, they really didn't have the group fully together throughout the preseason, but unlike when Brian played where offensive lines were given, you know, 3 years to gel. God, I remember George Young telling me in 1988 as they're starting to draft the guys to replace the Suburbanites, you know, he goes, they'll get reps, and, you know, within 3 years, they'll all come together. Now in the NFL, it's like, hey, if you get, like, 2 preseason games in and you get, like, 2 weeks worth of practice together.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. But I think they're relatively healthy. I mean, Andrew Thomas is back. He's still a stud. They've upgraded the position, but not with Pro Bowl players, just better players than they had. And, you know, this is a big weekend for the Giants. I think it's a bigger weekend for the Giants than it is for the Commanders in the sense that, look, you know what Jaden Daniels potentially is going to be, and you already saw some good stuff in Week 1, and this is a new program. This is a new situation. I think there's a lot more pressure on the Giants on Sunday because there were some different expectations for them coming into the year.
I agree with you. Everything in Washington, no matter – they could go 0-17 and everybody's coming back, you know? Like, they're not going to go 0-17, but this is the first year of a rebuild. Everybody's aware of the scenario. There's real pressure on front office coaches, everything in New York.
Yeah.
What is the path for the Giants to win on Sunday?
The path for them to win on Sunday would be the quarterback, obviously, to play better. And I'm not just talking about the 2 interceptions. One of them was a 4th and goal from the 8-yard line. What are you going to do if nobody's open? You're going to throw it out of bounds incomplete? You're going to take a chance, right? You're going to try to zip one in there and hit somebody. I think it's what they have to do in this football game is not turn it over, obviously. They got to get a little bit more of a run game, which is going to be tough against those 2 D tackles in there. But I think if they can get a little bit of rhythm and not get into these 3rd and longs. I mean, last year, the Giants were 31st in 3rd down conversions or 30th in 3rd down conversions. Damn. And 40% of their 3rd downs were 9+. And they had a bunch of third and longs again last week. They got to stay in better down and distance because, look, you guys saw it last week. The Commander secondary can be had, all right? And the Giants have some guys that can stretch a defense and then get Malik Nabers in space. And, you know, defensively, the Giants are going to have to keep eyes on Jaden Daniels, right? Because if you're playing man and your back's turned and that first read is taken away, he's not going to just hurt you with his legs. He's going to crush you with his legs. And, you know, in nine career games against the Giants, McLaurin's got three 100-yard receiving games. I'd expect him to be more involved this week. And, you know, don't let Brian Robinson start ripping off runs where Jaden Daniels can play on schedule.
It's gonna be a fun one, Bob. We appreciate you making time for us, man. I know you're busy on a game week and you got a lot going on, but we'll see you. I don't know if you're ready for this. Do you know the new name of the stadium?
Yeah, Northwest Stadium.
Boom.
Yeah.
We will see you at Northwest Stadium on Sunday, Bob. Thanks very much.
Hey, can I give you one funny, interesting little nugget that I honor?
Absolutely. Yeah.
This is like one of the few times you might have Jaden Daniels and Daniel Jones in the same sentence. But obviously Jaden Daniels last week had two rushing touchdowns in his first ever start. He's the first quarterback in his first ever start, not week one, but his first ever start since Daniel Jones in 2019 to rush for two or more touchdowns in his first career start. And Jones' first start in Tampa when they won, he ran for two touchdowns that day, too. So they're tied forever.
Yeah, that's crazy. Hey, Bob, real quick, you said that if Jones doesn't start playing better, he could find himself on the bench. Would they be going to DeVito?
Well, I think next up is Drew Locke, who they signed.
Okay, I thought he was hurt or something.
Yeah, he was hurt, but he's been taking reps at the two. Actually, DeVito is 1-0 lifetime against the Commanders. He beat them last year.
I remember,
but I think it would go to Locke next. But you know, the Giants are hoping against hope that none of this gets to that, and that Jones can play better and they can play better offensively. Because I mean, look, they had five games last year in which they scored less than 7 points, and you know they've already gotten one under their belt. Dable's first year as head coach, they didn't have any games in which they didn't score a touchdown in a game. So
it's crazy.
There's a lot of heat to get things going offensively.
Bob, thank you again.
Appreciate
man.
You, Bob.
Yeah, good talking to you guys.
All right, man.
All right. Thank you. That is Bob Papa, voice of the Giants. If you'd like to get more stuff, I mean, he does all NFL for Sirius. I mean, that guy is wired in across the entire National Football League. Give him a follow at Bob Papa _NFL.